This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Good morning, everybody, and happy Wednesday. Let's see. We got inflation news was out. Fishman would want me to mention that, and it's down. So there you go. I'll pass along the good news when it comes along. Expected to be 2.9%, instead 2.8%, so that's good. We do have continuing revolving jail, you know, doors in jail. People get sent to jail and then are out immediately. The latest being Brian Kelsey, who got a presidential pardon, served 2 weeks of his 21-month sentence. This is the kind of thing that outrages people. We don't even keep the criminals in jail any longer. True, they just go there one day and then they're out the next. So there's news in the world, but we have a big day today because we got... Wednesdays are always crowded. We got John Martin in the next segment. Then we have Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. And then Sam Hardiman, this time on his appropriate day. And Sam texted me earlier. He said he wanted to shout out some first responders who were heroic.
Okay. I'm excited.
I'm excited to hear that, too. A little upbeat story of heroism in addition to low inflation numbers and a beautiful day outside. I will say this, Jeffrey. Well,
he's got to look for good news, right? Because he's reeling from Marchand.
Oh, yeah, the Brad Marchand trade.
I mean, he's got to do anything that he can to pick himself up. Anything. I know everybody, it was top of mind for everyone.
It was top of mind for everyone. I'm reeling because that Chick-fil-A order that I mentioned earlier, hundreds and hundreds of dollars of Chick-fil-A was delivered to a friend's house, and they weren't there, and so I went and picked it up. It's taken a toll on me, Jeffrey.
Oh.
I had Chick-fil-A sandwich for breakfast yesterday and a Chick-fil-A sandwich for lunch yesterday.
You might have hit your saturation fries.
I've already had a Chick-fil-A sandwich this morning and I've gained 5 pounds just like
you don't say.
Yeah, yeah. So the Chick-fil-A is taking a toll, man. But otherwise I'm in good spirits. I would urge you today. I can sometimes, I'll agree with this, sound like a shill for the Daily Memphian. And that's partly because I just believe in the cause. I think a nonprofit newspaper created out of thin air is a fine thing to support. But if you turn to the Daily Memphian today, there's just some great, great stories there. Drew Hill has a story about P.J. Haggerty, and P.J. Haggerty is part of his NIL efforts. He was out at a trucking company a couple weeks ago, and Drew hung out with him. And it's a great story. This guy walks up and all of a sudden he designs a play. He is totally, totally convinced that he has the play that is going to that they ran in high school.
Going to revolutionize basketball.
And it is going to transform. Mm-hmm. And it is one of the nice things about the NIL thing. You can argue that this stuff feels some like you're just going through the motions. It's a charade to put money in the players' pockets where they should just be paid outright, right? But one of the nice outcomes is that oftentimes you have the players out and about now doing stuff, either philanthropic efforts.
Nailed
they're,
it.
They're, it was a bit of a struggle. Either philanthropic efforts. They're out there. They're stuffing lunches and backpacks and things for people, or they're at the Boys and Girls Club. Here, he was just out there mingling with the civilians. And so, anyway, Drew has a really fun story up about PJ Haggerty. I chronicled what I just thought was a ridiculously sweet story about this 11-year-old girl named Macy Barrett. I'd actually written about the Barretts before because they're Memphis Tiger fans. They happen to be Memphis Tigers fans in Rochester, New York. Now, that would seem unusual, wouldn't it? Rochester, New York. And they're no connection to Memphis whatsoever.
I would say that's probably, they're pretty unique.
They're probably the only Memphis
they
Tiger
might be
fans
one of
in
one.
Rochester, unless there's some expats who've landed there. But anyway, Macy's mother, Julie, when she was 12, read a book about Penny Hardaway. And so she was so entranced by Penny's story. And this was when Penny was at his zenith, you know, the Penny stuff in the NBA in Orlando, that she just became a massive Penny Hardaway fan and has followed him ever since. And I actually interviewed him a few years ago when she finally got down here for a Memphis Tiger game and was absolutely thrilled. But they try to go to games as much as they can. And so one of the games that they always go to, because it's pretty close to Rochester, relatively closer than Memphis, is at Temple in Philadelphia. And so they were driving to the Temple game, and Macy, this 11-year-old girl, wanted to give Penny something. And she's a Taylor Swift fan, so what'd she give Penny?
A wrist thing, a friendship bracelet.
Yeah, exactly right. And so she made a friendship bracelet.
I mean, I have no idea.
She's all excited. She's all excited to meet Penny after the big win and whatever else. And you will recall what happened in that game, Jeffrey. They lost. They got smashed
Jeff,
the boards.
No, it was a lesson.
It was a lesson. It was a lesson. It was certainly a lesson. And there was some worry that Penny would not, would not come out. Maybe he'd storm directly to the bus. He would not be in the mood to mingling with the fans. But Penny, as I've said before, is the best I've ever seen at dealing with folks and being out there and talking to people. He revels in it, honestly. And he's unfailingly gracious. And he was here. And he took this present from this 11-year-old girl and that whatever else. And and they sort of had this secret hope that he'd be wearing it in the next game. And sure enough, next game was Charlotte. He was wearing the bracelet. They saw it on TV from Rochester. And he's worn it every game since. And they've won 12 of 13 since. Now, in fairness, he was wearing it during the Wichita State game. But 12 of 13 conference title, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, coach of the year, yesterday. And, so they're of course absolutely thrilled. And, I asked Penny yesterday at his press conference, why he decided to wear it. And he said, I took it because it was an 11-year-old girl, right. I was going to be nice and take it. But then he looked down at it, and it said, "I believe in you, Coach." And at that moment, after that loss, after last year, he said, "You know what? I'm going to wear this." And so he's worn it every single game since. And not only that, the other day, they got a Facebook message from Kirk, who works in sports information over there, and said, "Penny would like two more because it's so beaten up that." That he wants to wear one of them in the conference tournament and then another one in the NCAA tournament. So it's just a sweet kind of story I love to tell, honestly. That's a sweet story in the Daily Memphian. And then, again, I know I'm pimping for the Daily Memphian, but I have to tell you, Chris Harrington's story, and we'll talk to Chris about it later on, about the birth of the Tony Allen era is just incredible. It's just an incredible story. And it is a reminder of how exactly rocky it was getting started on this. And some of the quotes from Lionel Hollins are just great, including about just the transaction the summer before. And again, we'll talk to Chris about this. Here's some of it. Chris Wallace. Chris, and this is Lionel Hollins talking. Chris was trying to sell me on Tony Allen, and I kept saying we needed a point guard. I thought we could bring back Ronnie Brewer. He's the guy they just dealt with. They gave up a first round pick for him, and go get a point guard, and we'd be pretty solid. I just didn't like the fact that we were looking at Allen as a backup point guard. Chris made the decision, and he wanted to go with somebody who he knew. So that's what happened. Tony wasn't so enthusiastic about it either, but he had to take the bag because it was the biggest bag that he got. And during training camp...
That's shout-out Coach Ciprian, right?
Yeah, that's Coach Sip, yep, who told Tony he had to take the money.
You got to take
this. You got to take the money. It was 3 years, $9 million. And then he said, during training camp, this is what they say. This is what Holland said. Tony Allen is going to be a utility player. I think he's a 15-minute player on most nights. If Xavier Henry is able to handle the load, he'll back up OJ, and if not, we'll look to Sam in that role. And Tony will be the wild card. We'll play in certain situations where we need energy. And so he got more before it turned. He got more DNPs, or as many DNPs as he got starts. DNPs. That was Tony. And so just amazing. And then they go in the, they talk about, this story also is about the fight between Tony and O.J. Mayo and what happened there. The plane fight. Yeah, the fight on the flight on the plane over the card game. And I'm just telling you, it's a great story. It's a two-part series that Chris is doing on the dawn of the Tony Allen era. All of this, of course, in advance of Saturday night's game against the Heat when Tony's number will be retired. I also gather he is going to be the grand whatever of
the parade.
The Silky Sullivan's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Grand Marshal?
Day parade. Grand Marshal.
Is that right?
That's the word. Very good. We're really hitting on all cylinders today.
Look at me.
Grand Marshal of the... So anyway, read all those pieces. Plus, I know there's another piece that Drew has on Yuki coming up. That's a lot of fun. So there ends. It really isn't so much an advertisement for me as it is a public service to tell you that all three of those pieces absolutely worth your time and more over there. But it was a good day at the Daily Memphian, and there's a lot of great sports stories to be telling these days. We do have. The Grizzlies tonight, as they go for four, they go for four in a row against the Jazz. Are you confident? What's your level of confidence?
8.5. The Jazz are doing really good work.
They're
committed to the cause.
I have taken to looking to, I'm told the story on Yuki is now published, so I'll read that one during the break. I'll read that one during the break as well. So, I've taken to going to Tankathon. Are you a fan of Tankathon? Tankathon.com?
I use it as a source.
I go for the NHL because my Sabres are always in the lottery.
But I would imagine it's bookmarked for you.
It's bookmarked for me there. But let's go to the NBA draft Tankathon. Utah at 15-50. They got some work to do to catch Washington at 13-51. So they can't afford to give ground.
Correct.
They cannot afford to give ground. They have lost six straight. And here's the other thing. Nipping right on their heels, Charlotte.
Yep.
Charlotte has been just atrocious. And so Charlotte is as committed to the cause. And every ping pong ball matters, man. Every ping pong ball matters. New Orleans is right there.
It does, but wouldn't you agree now? The key is get bottom four.
Yeah, you want to look at... Oh, here, we look at the odds here.
Yeah. I think it's the bottom four of the same odds.
So one overall is the bottom three all have the same odds at being number one overall. That's Washington, Utah, and Charlotte right now. New Orleans has they each have a 14% chance of winning the flag, capture the flag. Then there's New Orleans at 12.5% chance. So you want to be in the top
three. Yeah, you're right. Sorry, top three.
You want to be in the top three. So you have to stay in the top three. And they do have a healthy 2.5-game lead over New Orleans. It seems pretty reasonable, but you can't slip up. You can't slip up. Can't afford to slip
up. Every loss matters.
Every loss matters. Now, if you look at the injury report, though, Markkanen is, who had been out, he is questionable. So,
well, he needs to rest up.
I think he needs the rest. Also needing the rest, Jordan Clarkson, who's questionable. Jaden Springer, who's questionable. Kante George is doubtful. Over for the Grizzlies, you've got...
Jaren and Santi are out.
Yeah, Santi's out.
Zach Jaren's is questionable,
out.
Right?
Zach and Brandon Clark are both questionable. Feels like must. I don't know what's must, but it does feel like this would be deeply disappointing if you were to lose.
No,
this
I mean
game.
To me the key the rest of the way, the Grizzlies have 6 games against dreadful teams. You have to win.
And how many we have left total? 18.
So
what? How many? What?
Wait, 18 or 17?
We might be down to 17 now.
Okay, let's see. They're at 41 and 24, so that would be 65. They have 17 left.
Yeah, 17 left.
So
of the 17, 6 are against dreadful teams.
Correct. And then 6 are against quality teams, but 4 of which are at home. Like, to me, like, the key is...
Are you talking...
So the Grizzlies
What are the rest? There's
then there's
missing
like
there.
Then there's like teams that are kind of
in the middle.
Yeah, some
so
like
6 are against really good teams. You count
correct.
The Cleveland game as one
correct.
Of those.
Yes, but they're 4 of which are at home. But to me, the key is the 6 games against the dreadful teams. Like, you got to go win them.
Currently, tied with the Lakers for third, 1 game behind Denver. You win those 6. How many do you want of the 17? Would you take 11 and 6? I'm offering you 11
yeah,
and 6.
I'd take 11 and 6. I think 11 and 6 would put them in very good position.
And 11 wins gets you to 52.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be. I know some are disappointed. I am not going to be apologizing for a 50-win season.
No. And that likely, I think that'd win the division again. And I get it in basketball.
Oh, win the division.
Yeah,
yeah right. Yes.
And
right.
I get
yes.
in basketball, like, that's much less of a accomplishment or whatnot. But, like,
I just, you know, I'm not going to be apologizing for a 50-win season. So, anyway, but tonight is critical for the Grizzlies. Tigers obviously biding their time until they commence play on Friday. We do have, weirdly enough, 1 game in the AAC tournament today.
Oh, yeah.
That's pathetic. What's the point? Charlotte versus Rice.
So, do you have a strong enough conviction one way or the other? In a conference tournament, should everyone
go?
Yeah.
I think you're right. You called me on it. Because some conferences don't.
Right.
Some conferences leave people home.
The Big Ten and the ACC
are leaving people home. I think everyone should go.
And in that case,
if
then
everyone
I am
should
fine
go,
with
then
it.
You're fine with this game.
Right.
Make it hard
on them.
Do you agree everyone should go?
Yes, I do.
Everyone should go.
Yeah.
You're in the conference.
That's the idea of it.
You
was,
all get together
correct.
And you have this tournament.
And it's supposed to be Glory's last shot.
And it's supposed to be Glory's last shot. So, all right, Glory's last shot commences. You've persuaded me. In the AAC, Charlotte versus Rice. We do have 4 interesting SEC games today. South Carolina, Arkansas, Texas, Vandy, LSU, Mississippi State. Mississippi State was ranked like a week ago, you know, and here they are. That's how deep the SEC is. And then Oklahoma, Georgia. So are you going to be wagering on these?
So we wagered last night. Shout outs to the fine young men of the Arizona State University.
Mm-hmm.
Backdoor cover.
Hurley's back. You don't believe it? That's the report?
I believe the reporter was told. I think Hurley might be trying to find the old soft landing spot.
I see.
And also shout out to everyone knows Will Wade, such a man of integrity. His young men really covering at home or covering at the last second. That was phenomenal. I can just say I'm probably going to bet on Arkansas because that's just kind of what I do. I can't quit them.
John told me yesterday mm-hmm. he's already, was it 1.5, 2, something like that?
Somewhere
he's
in that
already,
area.
He's already wagered on Arkansas. Now, they had a very bad result against South Carolina last time.
Correct, but that kind of makes me want it more. They literally scored 14 points and a half.
14 points and a half.
Yeah. But so, we're not making that number up. That's what they scored.
That's what they actually did score in the half. So anyway, that's happening over in Nashville. We had Gonzaga winning over St. Mary's last night.
I've got to give you a stat. I don't think...
Is it the 1 of 31?
No. That one was truly tremendous.
Combined three-pointers... One of 31.
I believe that in the Arizona-Kansas State game earlier this year.
Holy smoke. One of 31.
All right, here we go. This is one of my all-time favorites. For those that want to know why I feel a certain way about St. Mary's, Randy Bennett has a 71% career winning percentage, 6 regular season conference titles, 4 conference tournament titles, and as of next week, 11 bids to the national tournament. He now holds a career record against Mark Few of 12-46.
Oh my God!
12-46.
Sees him in his nightmares.
Yes.
Mark Few, by the way, 20 tournament titles now. 20 tournament.
I mean,
titles.
Tim was Tim pointed out. I think yesterday's stat was the last time Gonzaga wasn't in the WCC final was 1997.
Yeah. It's incredible. It's incredible what they do. In terms of the Penny stuff, yesterday I was at his press conference, and obviously it was a continuing triumph. Like, here we are. We're collecting the hardware and the plaudits. And let's see, Friday it was the confetti and the trophy and all of that for winning the conference championship. Now it was Coach of the Year for Penny, Player of the Year for PJ Haggerty, Newcomer of the Year for Dane Danger. You had 3 players on the all-conference first team, although the all-conference first team had 10 players on it. Since we're talking principle, I think all teams should be invited to the conference tournament. I think in principle, the first team all-conference team should be 5 players, not 10. That would suggest it would be a first and second team if you had 10. I think the math doesn't add.
Furthermore, when you have 5 unanimous picks, that's the first team.
Yes, it was silly. It was absolute silliness. Penny was obviously touched. Of course he was touched. It means something to him. I mean, here's a guy. How long have we heard AAU coach, AAU coach, AAU coach, rolls the balls out, AAU coach, coach like a bad AAU team, whatever else. He has incredible pride about his basketball knowledge. And honestly, we used to hear about it too much. You know, we used to hear like, we had the perfect game plan. I don't know why the players didn't execute it, right? He used to have to say that. Maybe it was because so many people were saying he couldn't coach that he would over and over tell you, we had the perfect game plan. I don't know what happened. We do this a million times in practice. Like, he would have to stick up for his coaching all the time, particularly in the face of unfortunate results. And it's nice. It's done a 180. He doesn't have to stick up for his coaching, and he's getting Coach of the Year awards. And I think, you know, you can argue that he had the overwhelming talent. And will he continue to win Coach of the Year awards if he has the best talent in the league every year? Probably not. It'll probably go to some plucky team that finishes second, right?
The coach that does the most for the least.
With the least. That's what it typically is. But this is a year when Memphis was not picked to win the conference. Memphis was not picked to win the conference, and you had a lot of players who took steps. Sure, PJ Haggerty was good when he got here. He's better this year. Dane Danger was good when he got here. He's dramatically better this year. And so
even a guy like Nick Jordan's better this
year. Nick Jordan is better this year. Musa has been really good this year. Even as he has been put in a bench role, which might not, like, the massaging that situation is also a critical part of coaching. And so, obviously, well-deserved for Penny. He was appropriately touched by it. And now, here we go. You know, now we'll see. It's unfortunate that they're going to play in this tournament where, once again, only bad things can happen for them. There's no opportunity to really do anything good. It's just... if they lose a game, it'll be a black mark against them. But that's the
maybe.
That's the state of it. Maybe a black mark. It can only be that, though.
Yes, agreed.
There's no opportunity for anything good to happen here. The only opportunity is perhaps something bad to happen here, and that's a microcosm of their entire
and like even situation. So like even if you take the okay, let's say they wind up playing North Texas on Sunday. Spoiler alert, everyone. the bracket's done.
That won't even matter. That will not matter at all. Because it's, you know, some places there, if they're both in, you could be flipping, right?
Correct.
But you have a situation there where now it'll matter if North Texas gets in because someone would knock someone out.
Correct. And it's a little bit more money for the conference.
And it would be a little bit more money for the conference. We got John Martin coming up next. Again, Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. Sam Hardiman after that. So we don't have a lot of time to talk about the NFL, but I did want to ask you if you think the addition of Joey Bosa to the Buffalo Bills does it guarantee the Super Bowl, or does it just make it, you know, 95% likely that the Bills win the Super Bowl?
96.5, somewhere in that area. I think it was a good signing. It's a one-year deal, and the biggest problem that Bosa's had recently, it's not a deteriorating of play, it's health. So if you can get him healthy and have him, like, he is...
He has not been, even, health is the biggest problem.
Correct.
Even when he has been healthy. Like, here's the truth. Last year, Von Miller had more sacks than Joey Bosa, mm-hmm. right? And they both missed games. Like,
yep.
he played 9 games, 5 sacks or something like that across 9 games. Like, he's limited. They weren't all starts. Because of his health, he wasn't 100% in all of them. But it's a totally different situation when it's a one-year deal. There's no risk here.
Exactly.
What's the risk? The risk is that he's going to be on the sidelines.
And the money they gave him is not like it's crippling money.
$12 million. It's not the end of the world. So, and you're taking a swing, and you're hoping that in the critical moments, Joey Bosa can tackle Patrick Mahomes, right?
And he's at the stage in his career, like, he wants to play for something that matters.
Do you want to tell the people what you texted me last
night? Yeah, I'm fabulous. Allegedly, I like to see, you know, let's beef up on the PEDs. Let's get ready to go. Let's be ready day one.
He's so motivated
to win
that he's going to be getting on the PEDs.
Yeah. Allegedly.
And taking care of
the Ovechkin, as they refer to it.
So that happened. We're sort of winding up. As predicted, or maybe this happened during the last parts of our show yesterday. It did. The Daniel Jones to Indy thing did happen. And so people are wondering what's going to happen with Anthony Richardson. And his agent tweeted out basically ready to rock and roll. You know, is not going to be asking for a trade. Again, who knows? The stuff can evolve, but is ready to rock and roll and try to win the job. And in truth, if you can't beat out Daniel Jones, you are not the quarterback they expected you to be when you drafted.
And also, if you're fighting, you know, there are two sides to every story, but there were plenty of stories about you being a bad locker room guy, bad team guy, and if you're fighting that and you immediately demand a trade, like, I don't think you're setting yourself up for success.
DeAndre Hopkins to Baltimore. So we have, in terms of the
quarterback... Oh, we have Kenny Gainwell news.
Where'd Kenny sign with?
Kenny signed with Pittsburgh.
Kenny Gainwell to Pittsburgh. Najee Harris had ended up in...
Chargers.
Yeah, feels like a match, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't it? Hard-running dude.
Harbaugh.
Who actually hasn't been that great in Pittsburgh, but seems like a Pittsburgh kind of guy. I mean, seems like a Harbaugh kind of guy.
Yeah.
So Kenny Gainwell.
I'd imagine it's a little easier.
Kenny Gainwell. We got Kenny Gainwell and Calvin Austin being reunited.
Yep.
And it's going to be harder for me to root against the Steelers. But I was going to get to the Steelers because are we just now down to? So teams without quarterbacks, right? Cleveland really does not have a quarterback. They traded for Kenny Pickett, right?
Yeah. So, and then we also got the report yesterday that if Cousins gets released, the landing spot's going to be there.
That's what I wondered about. So you've got Cleveland doesn't have a quarterback. The Titans.
They still have Will Levis.
They have Will Levis. It feels like, and then the Giants. So Giants and Steelers are both out there. Is that if Kirk Cousins is going to go to the Browns when he is ultimately released, and that feels like a reasonable match. It's interesting, though. If Kirk Cousins goes to the Browns, does he want to go to the Browns if they take a quarterback in the first round? He just did that. You know what I mean? Or does this mean if Kirk Cousins goes to the Browns, are they going to take a position player?
I think if you're Kirk Cousins, going to the Browns is your best chance to start.
If you were the Steelers, would you rather have Rodgers, Russ, or Kirk Cousins?
I think I would rather have Rodgers.
Because it feels like Russ, Rodgers, there's two teams that are aching for quarterbacks, Giants and Steelers, right?
Yes.
And there's two quarterbacks out there, Russ and Rodgers. Is one going to one and one going to the other, and it's, that's that?
And
that's a wrap?
Well, and it seems like Rodgers gets to make the first move.
And Rodgers gets to make the first move. Some on Sportsmanlike this morning, it was posited that why hasn't he gone there already? And the theory was because he's still holding out hope that the Vikings might want to do something.
I've thought it's more they're trying to figure out the number.
That may be. The Vikings thing didn't sound particularly realistic to me. So if Rodgers goes to the Steelers, Russ goes to the Giants, and then the Giants also draft quarterback, they draft Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders falls down to 20, something like that, 21. Is that what happens?
I'm more curious. I am interested to know, are the Titans eventually going to be backed into taking a quarterback?
If you were the Titans, if you were any of these teams, any of the teams at the top, do you want them to take a quarterback, or do you want them to take, you know, pick your favorite?
I mean, I'm at this point, I want the Giants to wind up with Cam Ward. I've made my peace with it. Do I think Cam is a perfect quarterback? No, but I think he's clearly the best. And
but will they have to trade up to get him?
Probably.
Are they going to have to trade up from 3 to 1 or 2?
Probably. I also don't think it's going to be as expensive of a
draft.
It
feels like he's going to end up there. Unless that, whatever. I mean, you can imagine the Titans say, fine, we'll do it.
Yeah.
But
I mean, the Titans, I think, are playing this perfectly. They're being very quiet. They're not tipping their hand.
They're trying to extract as much as they can from a trade.
Correct.
From the coming trade. If they're not taking a quarterback. Yeah. There's no reason for them to sit tight and take a position player. They might as well trade down. Because it feels like Cam Ward is the prize, right?
Yes.
Everyone agrees that Cam Ward now is quarterback one. There was a conversation about that once upon a time, who is one, who is two. It seems like universal agreement that Cam Ward is QB1.
I think it's simply because the draft is about being a prospect, and I think it's clear to me Cam is the better prospect.
So it's been fun. Have you had a good I've enjoyed this. Like, compared to we thought the combine was kind of this was,
yeah.
But I think this has been fun.
I've been a little overwhelmed.
Too much.
It's been
a fire hose. It's been drinking from the fire hose.
I'm very clear. It's not like I think it's well documented. I love me some football, but it's at certain points it's like I know I'm gonna get to preseason, and when I start watching games and I'm lusting for football in August, I'm like, he's there? It's like whenever we have NBA free agency, and I'm just like now starting to be like, what is gonna be the most likely person to be on a new team? I'm like, I had no idea that guy was there.
Before we break, Chris Harrington, I mean, we got John coming up next, then Chris Harrington, then Sam Hardiman. I did want to say, really struck by yesterday, there was the story that Junior Bridgman died. Junior Bridgman was a great Louisville Cardinal, went on to play in the NBA, was a great sixth man in the NBA. But Junior Bridgman's story is particularly striking because he died, he was at a Boy Scout event. And one of the stories about Junior Bridgman is he couldn't, when he was a kid, join the Boy Scouts because they didn't have the $1.50 or whatever it was, the cost to buy, whatever you had to buy in order to join the Boy Scouts at the time. And he died a billionaire. And he died a billionaire not because of the money that he made in the NBA. I saw Charles Barkley said that he never made more than $300,000 in the NBA. Junior Bridgman never did. But it was something like that. Like, he never, you know.
Right, it's not like.
Jock could be a billionaire someday. Jaron could be a billionaire someday. Whatever else, those folks could be billionaires someday because they have a pretty good head start on it right now, just from the money they make and then endorsements. Well, Junior Bridgman didn't make a lot of money. He didn't have a lot of big endorsements. But when he got out of the league, he started investing in Wendy's. Honestly, and I heard him talking about it at one point, and he said, you know, back then they'd give me Wendy's in the bad part of town, and the way you make Wendy's work there is you make sure that the people trust you and believe in you. And he talked about, we would literally go, we said back then in Wisconsin, that they would jail people on traffic violations and stuff. So he spent a lot of time bailing people out of jail, just literally bailing people out of jail. And the people in the community started to understand that this Wendy's was, you know, a place that was invested in the community. And they still own those Wendy's, but he ultimately ended, you know, he ultimately owned a bazillion Wendy's and other restaurants, and then he became a Coca-Cola distributor, and literally worth more than $1 billion, not because of he was a talented basketball player, although he was a talented basketball player, but because he was a smart dude, he was creative, he was invested in his community, and he worked his ass off. And that is a model that is worth emulating.
You're speaking my language, retail food.
There you go.
Food and Bev.
food and Bev, baby. So thoughts and prayers to Junior Bridgman and his family. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with John Martin. Oh, before that, let me tell you that speaking of finance, if you want to do smart things for your financial future, you might think about heading over to Leaders Credit Union. They have a branch in Bartlett and a brand new branch in Arlington. We've gone to the one in Bartlett. That's where Claire has signed up and her son Conroy has signed up because, as I've told them, as I've told you, you're not a customer. You're not just a customer. You are a member of Leaders Credit Union because they take every dollar they earn and they plow it back into better rates and better service and better technology. They also do a lot for the community. I'm constantly getting updates about the latest, you know, financial literacy program they've put on for kids or whatever the latest thing that they've done. They're deeply embedded in the community as well. But the truth of the matter is you're going to go to them because of the technology, of the rates, of the service. Download the app, you'll see for yourself. You can learn more, Leaders Credit Union, leaderscu.com/ESPN. Back in a moment, it is Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, from conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Got John Martin, John and Jason. Jason and John, it's actually, that's the order, Jason and John. Every single day from 11 till 2. I'm told today you got Norton Hurd. Is that correct, John?
Yeah, thank you for saying that.
I like to promote the show every chance I get, you know.
Yeah, I think, you know, that's kind of been you guys are kind of, I think you're picking up what we're putting down. There's been a station-wide effort to sort of continue to promote our guest lineup.
How do you feel though about, let's be honest. Let's let out some of the dirty laundry here. You discovered Norton Hurd really as a radio talent, right? As a radio talent, and I consider Norton Hurd to be must listen. And then all of a sudden, he pops up every single week on Jeffrey's show as a regular. So is that outright theft? Is that illegal tampering? How do you consider that? And what's your level of resentment?
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's my overall thought on it is that it's good for Norton Hurd that he's we don't pay him.
I was going to say, I just want to make sure I make sure my guy gets paid.
Well, and in truth, to be clear, we took Kevin Cerrito from the other station, didn't? Where did we get Kevin Cerrito from? Once upon a time, no, before you.
I thought Kevin was one of your interns.
No, Kevin was not an intern for me. Kevin did was on every Saturday over on
yes, 56.
56 and
but post pandemic, no.
And so then
he was free agent.
He was Kevin at was the free time agent. He'd been released.
Yeah, Kevin was free agent.
He'd been released. He was a street free agent. Yeah. We picked him up.
We took Gabe from 56.
We did take Gabe from 56.
We're coming.
Now
all your best and brightest talent.
Yeah, but you look 56. At this, Grind City Media took Vernon Parrish.
That's right.
And Jessica, who was like, Jessica, now she's on your show. Yep. Here's the truth. Yep. I think Jessica's great. And so she used to do a regular spot on my show.
And then I took her away from you?
No. What happened was when she went to Grind City Media, she literally, she's now we are in deathly competition with Jessica. So I'm like, I can't be having Jessica on my show.
Absolutely.
When I'm, yes. And so then you, of course, don't have any respect for the fact that she is my, you know, to the death competition, and you immediately put her on your show to promote her show. Now, happily, my show is flourishing even despite your underhanded tactics.
That doesn't mean we stop with the tactics, is it? Does it?
No.
I mean, we keep going.
Very underhanded.
What a very interesting media dynamic in Memphis, isn't it? I mean, it really is.
Well, here's why. Because there's not a lot of good people. It's just true. I mean, Jeffrey, am I wrong?
People be happy.
Am I wrong? It's a dearth. And why, by the way, when is the last person who came in here out of town? And, you know, we don't do that much and just blew up, right?
No, but I think that's more of a, I think that's.
Why
more,
is that?
I think it's because in Memphis, we don't, like, there's the.
Pay?
Yes. Well, there's that. But there's also, we're kind of tribal. We don't like when other people, like, you've experienced this. Like, when you come in and you start commenting on us. We don't. It's like, hey, you're not from around here.
Oh yeah, no. It took me at least 17 years to be considered a Memphian. You know, and so that's true. But it is interesting. You'll have other places where they'll introduce a new, even nationally, whatever. All of a sudden, you pop up. Tony Kornheiser's gone, and Colin Coward's in the slot, right? Like whatever. They find people and they put them in there, and they'll figure you get used to them. The last person we did, who was the person we had someone like that here on this station for a while. But you try to, if you take someone from wherever and just thrust them into Memphis radio, I think it's kind of tough.
Right.
And by the way, I wasn't disparaging the people who, I'm just saying, there is, the reason that everyone keeps stealing from everybody else is there seems to be.
Well, you're not paying people the money to.
That's the other reason.
You know, you're not rehoming them.
We don't pay guests.
You know, we don't pay guests, and you know, unless you negotiate that sort of into your deal. You know, it's just,
you're exactly right. There's not a lot of money in it. And so that it keeps the pool pretty diminished, right?
Yeah. So the people that do it, you know, are people that already live here anyway and are used to the, you know, they're not, you know, going to require 10 or 15%, you know, raise.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Do you think we're a good sports talk radio? Yep. Jeffrey, do you think we're a good sports talk radio town? It's an interesting town. And this has been the issue long before 92.9 was invented, right? Was, Dan Barron, who was our former leader here, he just was not convinced that there was enough interest in any one team. Like if you're in St. Louis, you're going to be talking about the Cardinals all year long. If you're in Buffalo, you're going to be talking about the Bills all year long. And he was not convinced that given the schism between Tennessee fans, Ole Miss fans, Mississippi State fans, Vandy fans, Memphis fans, whatever else, that there was anything. That there was gonna, there's any critical mass.
It was too fractured.
He's an Alabama guy too, so they talk about Alabama all the time, right? So he just wasn't convinced it was gonna work. And so when they launched this station, it was, you know, me and Gary, and yeah, we talked about sports, but a whole part of the brand from the outset was we're gonna have to talk about other stuff. Like that's been the brand from the outset. That was part of GP's brand and part of Vernon's brand and part of my brand. And since then, the Grizzlies have come and take a moment. But it still is an interesting, like, you can talk about the Bills 12 months a year in Buffalo.
Yep.
You don't have that here.
No, you don't. You don't. I think it's okay. I think it's okay is how I would sort of, I don't think it's great. I think in a lot of cases, like, people don't, you know, even the audience is still, you know, they have a lot of learning to do about the way that, you know.
It's funny, though. Sports. Here's the truth. When I am listening to Bills radio, to WGR, which is a station in Buffalo, okay, if they're talking about something other than sports, if they're ranking pizza places or whatever, I'm like, screw you. I don't want to. I literally listen for the Bills, right, or the Sabres, one or the other. Here, I consider it part of the deal to talk about that other stuff. And I don't know. Is that, would people rather that we just talked, broke down Memphis Tiger tournament chances? But the problem is it's also just as, it's not as rich a firmament, because what are you going to talk about the Memphis Tigers? This,
no,
all
I mean,
we're going to say,
know, yeah,
is that it's, the tournament,
I think,
sucks,
you're right. I think,
and they shouldn't be,
yeah,
in this conference.
Well, I think that's partly why I'm just sort of pulling back the, I think that's partly why your show is the most successful, is because you talk the least sports. You know,
I think that's true of our shows. I talk the least sports. It's still largely.
It's not even close.
Yeah, yeah. I got I got regular guests who do not talk about sports.
It's not even close. And so I think that's, everybody else just does, like, you know, I mean, we'll occasionally, you know, but we don't.
I find some of your best conversations, though, is when you and Jason.
I mean,
is when you,
you know,
and
I mean,
Jason,
whatever. It's the gig. I mean, sometimes I feel like, you know, if we ever get off topic, it feels like, you know, it's kind of feels obvious that we're off topic, but I admire that, you know, you don't have that guilt at all.
I am a little envious. The race thing that you guys have on your show, not the fact that there's, but who are you ranking? You were ranking NBA players the other day, and Jason ranked someone above someone else, and you said, yeah, but I mean, putting race aside, like, you just objected.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Like, what
well,
was he, the,
in that case,
who
in
was
that case,
it? Was it, who was
I don't
that? Who were y'all
I don't
ranking?
Remember exactly.
I think it was the 2018 draft class, maybe?
Oh, that's
ranking?
What it was. Yeah, he had, yeah,
did
that's
he have
right.
Trey exactly. Young ahead of, no, he had...
Oh, Shea Gilgeous.
He had Shea Gilgeous at Aluka, which is a perfectly reasonable argument.
Totally.
But you said, it's a reasonable argument, but it's not a slam dunk. It's just not. It's not a slam dunk. And you said, yeah, but, I mean, but leave race out.
100%. I think we need to do more of that.
Well, the point,
you know,
is, the point is, you're able,
out
to,
of it.
You're able to joke about it. It's a running joke.
To Jason that he's willing to joke about
and you
it.
Both, well, you both are willing to joke about it. You joke about
oh,
your,
I'll joke
your
about
team.
My race all day, every day. Like, I'm happy.
All right,
I,
enough
I
of this.
It.
Enough of this. I didn't know we were going to talk about this.
I didn't either.
Do you understand why the Tigers are, quote unquote, getting shafted or going to get shafted in the seedings?
Well, okay, let's stipulate that
and
they
do. And do you believe that they are getting shafted?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know that they are getting shafted because
if they, no, but if they get a six, are they getting shafted?
No, they're not getting shafted.
Where do you think they're properly? Where do you think they're properly seated? But leaving aside, I don't mean in the context of the world. I mean, really, what's the? Where should they be? Not well, because they're going to be down in the net or whatever. I mean, literally. Where would some of it is just like, where would you rank them as a basketball team? That'll tell you their seeding. Where do you think they're ranked as a basketball team? Are they 16? If so, then it should be a 4 seed, right?
Right. Well, they're pretty clearly not considered really a
you don't
a top
think
16.
They are. You don't think they're a top 16.
Well, it's just
team.
The way the AP poll works.
I don't
right?
care.
AP,
yeah, I'm asking you. Do you think they're a top 16 team?
I think they're a top 20 team.
Okay. So you think then they should, by doing the math, they should be a 5
they're
seed.
They're a 5.
They should properly be a 5.
That's, I mean, honestly, based on their body of work, I would have them as a 5, yes.
Okay. So if they're anything other than a 5, you think they're getting shafted, and you do believe they will be something other than a 5, right?
Well, you have to pay your non-power structure tariff.
No, but that's not part of the, this is,
that would
we're talking
be your,
about
that would
the merits.
Put you at a 6. So,
yeah, but
I think John is right in this, though. There is always, this isn't a Memphis-specific issue.
Mid-major, but that means they're all getting shafted. I don't care why each are getting shafted, whatever. I'm just saying, where should they properly be ranked? And John thinks it's as a top 20 team.
You mean ranked or seeded? I mean,
seeded. Seeded and ranked.
Yeah, so
rankings,
I think they should be a top...
Rankings translate in a top 20 team would mean a top 5 seed.
I think they should be a top 5 seed because of their non-conference. And the only two games we lost in the league were... at Wichita State in overtime, and at Temple. I mean, you know, outside of perfection, I don't really know how much more you could have...
Okay, so then we're going to stipulate that they're going to be shafted, because even 6 would be getting shafted relative to a 5.
And, well, they 100% they're going to get shafted then.
Okay,
like, not
so
even,
why?
Not even a
what's
question, but the question
take
is
me inside
just how much
numbers.
Vaseline do I get to use?
I know, what's the number? What is killing them?
8 is killing them.
No. What
oh, what's
not...
killing them with the the seeding
in the system? Why?
Oh, they're predictives, and the fact that you know you look around and you know here's the most fundamental issue. The most fundamental issue is that on December 28th, when Memphis beat Ole Miss, they had 5 quad one wins or 6 quad one wins, whatever it was, and it's March 12th, and they still have the same amount of quad one wins. So the schedule shrivels up. Right, your resume shrivels up over the course of the season, and why does that happen? Because
that's the
conference play.
But
Big Ten,
how
SEC.
Much are we then also not allowing for the fact that the predictives, had they been eviscerating people, they would be higher? And I don't really care. Like I think the object's to win the game. It's not to win by 12, unless you're betting. But it feels like that is a big part of it.
Well, I don't even honestly think the predictives would have saved them because...
No, but did the predictives bury them? You just told me what's the problem. You told me the predictives are the problem.
Well, I mentioned them as a negative, but I think the bigger problem is that the fact that they haven't added a quad one win since
they haven't. But shouldn't you, when you're ranking, look at, okay... what's their record in percentage wins and losses versus in quad one rather than just some sum total? If you've had 20 quad one opportunities, you're going to have more than 20 quad one wins. Shouldn't you look at it as a winning percentage, not as a... Go ahead.
No, because you getting those wins is more important than the percentage. I mean, you could be 500... against the quad one. But if you have 20 of them,
that's more impressive than Memphis having five. What are they right now? Quad one, Jeffrey. What's their quad one? How many wins they got?
6-1 in quad one.
Okay, so they're 6-1 in quad one. John, let me ask you, which is more impressive, 6-1 in quad one, or 8-6 in quad one? Which is more impressive?
It would be 8-6 because you have two more.
That's ridiculous.
You have two more.
That's the stupidest thing ever.
Well, first of all, that's double the amount of quad one games.
Yes, but you lost. You lost almost half of them.
You don't get penalized for losing quad one games,
that's
Jeff. Everybody
stupid.
Knows the rules.
I know, but the rule. I'm not. You're telling me what
that's
the rules
the way it
are.
Is. I mean,
I'm
you
asking
can be mad
what
about
the rules
it all you
should
want,
be.
But that's the way it is.
That's the dumbest thing in the world. That 8-6 is better than 6-1.
If it wasn't that way, then Memphis would be a 2 seed right now.
And maybe they should be a top 4 seed based on their how well they did in quad one. Not total quad. It's the stupidest thing in the world. You're telling me that in fact 8-10 in quad one is better than 6-1. That's just dumb.
Yeah, I mean that's the way. Yes, that is the
it's
way.
It's ridiculous.
That it, because what they would do is they would just combine the quad one and two. That's what usually
so
ends up happening.
Stupid.
To make the, but I mean, look, if you, I'm not wrong. I mean, I'm not.
I'm not saying
because that's
you're
why
right
Missouri's ahead of you. It's why Ole Miss is ahead of you. It's why Mississippi State's ahead of you.
Stupid.
I mean, you know, this is when you get at bats the way that the SEC, the Big 12, and the Big 10 do, they're just going to pass you, whether or not their winning record, you know. And most of them have a winning record against quad one, by the way. I mean, you know, that would be...
Right, no, I know maybe, that, but I'm asking you a hypothetical, and you tell me that as long as all that matters is the number on the left, like how many wins they have? It's ridiculous. I mean, I'm not accusing you of it.
Generally, that is true.
Do you
think generally
speaking, how important is it that the Tigers not lose before Sunday for their seed line, do you believe?
I think it's very important, unfortunately. Just because, you know, I mean, you're going to get, you know, Wichita or South Florida on Friday, and that would be, I think, that would be a quad two loss. I mean, not terrible, but, you know, it would not be ideal, and you don't really need to be adding any more at this point. And it's why, like, I half jokingly said, like, I would protest
just skip the tournament,
thing,
right? Yeah, right, yeah, there's nothing good can happen.
Why not test them, you know? Why not kind of put a little pressure on them publicly, like, And say, because here's the thing, the relationship between the AAC and Memphis is not good anyway.
No,
I mean they didn't even want to announce that you won the regular season on social media until Rudd tweeted about it. So why not, if you're Ed Scott or somebody in there, say, you know, put a little balloon out and say, hey, why are we playing in this? Just see what happens.
Ed Scott, you know? By the way, was on. He did a podcast, some West Coast thing. I don't know the circumstances behind it, but I was listening to it, and they asked if he was committed to the AAC, and he said, "I'm committed to the AAC because it's the only home I have.
Right.
I don't have any other offers on the table right now. So yes,
right.
I am committed to the. I'm literally committed because I've got nowhere else to go. It was beautiful."
Yeah, I mean, which I appreciate being honest, because obviously nobody involved anywhere wants to be in this league. So, but yeah, it's really unfortunate. I mean, I am so over playing these games, you know, just this season. Like, you've done enough, Memphis. Like, goodness gracious, and then you got to do one more round. I just, it's exhaustive playing these damn games.
John, I'll be listening to your fine show from 11 to 2. Norton Hurd is going to be on with you. I'll see you later. Bye.